Okay, we're going to gather back together. James, perhaps you could close those back doors. That'd be fantastic. Thank you. And in your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to read from 19 to 25. Israel, who is our newest member, we're about to welcome him into church membership later on in the service today. He's going to come and read that part of God's word. And then Jonathan, who is one of the elders here at Silver Street, will come and preach. So thank you, Israel. What page are we on? Hebrews 10? 1208, if you've got a church Bible. Thank you so much.
Good morning, everyone. Hebrews 10 from 19 to 25. Can you hear me? Okay. Therefore, brothers and sisters, Hebrews 10.
1208.
Okay, all right. Therefore, brothers and sisters. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleansing us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. May the Lord bless the reading of his words in Jesus' name.
Morning, everyone. Let's pray together as we begin. Father, we thank you that your word is an encouragement to us when we're feeling weary. We pray that we would be able to look to the Lord Jesus this morning, and might he encourage us to keep us going. For Jesus' sake, amen. Are you feeling weary this morning?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought there might be a few. We've had a few disturbed nights with the kids recently. So maybe it's children, or maybe it's working late nights at work or doing shift work. Maybe it's just you feel like you're rushing around looking after family or other things. I think lots of us are probably quite weary. Rachel and I have actually just celebrated our 10th wedding anniversary. But it didn't take Rach very many of those years to realise that I give off weary vibes. When Katie was born, she gave me this book. The title is Lay Down Daddy Games, 25 Easy to Do Activities with the Kids When You Just Don't Feel Like Getting Up. And then let me just, if I can take a little liberty, read you part of the back. It says, being a dad isn't easy between work, spending time with the kids, the gym that you could always go to, and keeping your wife happy. A guy can barely find the time to have a little lie down now and again. But never fear, the following pages present what I like to think of as one of the most revolutionary advancements in fathering technology, the floor. Use with caution, these pages may improve your life greatly. You're welcome. Now, I'd certainly say I'm feeling weary some of the time. But I wonder whether, if you're feeling weary, is there anything that you're feeling like giving up on? Maybe it's schoolwork, stuff's not going so well there. Or things at work are a bit challenging at the moment. Or just keeping the family on the road is hard work. But I wonder if I was to ask you about things spiritually. Are you feeling spiritually weary? Do you feel like giving up on your faith, perhaps? Or maybe it's not you, but you can think of someone else who fits that description. Well, either way, the passage that we have this morning is the encouragement that either you or that friend you were thinking of needs to hear. It comes from the letter to the Hebrews, and Hebrews is actually a letter written to give encouragement to a bunch of weary Christians who were at risk of giving up. And the way it does that is by reminding them just how amazing the Lord Jesus is. So my summary of what we're going to see this morning is that Jesus has enabled us to enter God's presence, so don't give up. Or if I can phrase it a little bit more snappily, Jesus has got us in, so don't jack it in. Do you know that phrase, jack it in, kind of give up, throw in the towel? Jesus has got us in, so don't jack it in. And if I can take a little bit of a liberty as a parent, I'm going to help us see that using two episodes from Peppa Pig. Now, hopefully some of the kids will be able to help us understand that, and probably some of the parents too. It's a favourite in our household, so hopefully we'll enjoy seeing that together. So the first thing that the passage actually gives us is three signs that can help us detect if we're weary. These signs actually remind me of the episode of Peppa Pig where she is trying to learn to whistle. Do any of you know that one? Can you see her on the screen? She's having a go at trying to whistle there. Now, are any of you young people trying to learn to whistle at the moment? Can any of you do it? I wonder whether any of you have tried but have given up. Yeah, maybe one or two people. Now, when Peppa can't do it, she gets weary and she gets sad and she very nearly gives up. See the next picture? Okay, you can see her. Look at that face. Can anyone do that face? Yeah, Peppa's looking very sad. Okay, so what we're going to do now is to look at the signs of weariness. So a bit like Peppa was feeling sad and weary, what signs of weariness do we see in the passage? And they actually come from the commands that we see in the passage. Because if the Bible is telling us that there's something that we have to do, it probably means that there's a risk that we're not going to do it, and we need to be shown that. Okay, so sign number one, you're not drawing near. So this comes actually from the command in verse 22. If you have a look at that, it says, let us draw near to God. So the implication here is obviously that these weary Christians that the letter was written to were not drawing to God, not drawing close to God, or at risk of not doing so. Now you might wonder, what does it mean to draw near to God? Well, I think it's about spending time with him, meeting him in his word and praying to him and not avoiding him. But it's also what God promised that he would do as we gather on a Sunday. You remember that verse that says, where two or three gather, I will be with them. And as Luke was reminding us last Sunday, it's what happens in a special way as we gather around the Lord's table, as we will be doing later on. And actually the focus here in these verses is particularly on drawing near to worship. So it's before the verses that you read. But if you look at verse 1, it mentions those who draw near to worship. The end of verse 1, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Now, when Peppa gets stuck learning to whistle, she stops listening to Daddy Pig's advice. You click onto the next slide. It's an even more dramatic face now. Look at that. And what she says is, it doesn't work. Now, obviously, this is a cartoon, but I wonder whether something similar could be said of you in your Christian life. I wonder whether you've stopped listening to your father, you stop drawing near to worship. Maybe you've started to think, it's too hard work worshipping God. And what do I get out of it? It doesn't seem to work. I wonder whether you're going your own way rather than drawing near to your father. Okay, so that's the first sign of weariness, you're not drawing near. Let's see the second one. Sign two, your faith is failing. And this comes from the command in verse 23 where it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Now the implication here is that the weary Hebrew Christians were beginning to doubt. Maybe they were being tossed about and they were struggling to keep their grip on the gospel. In the Pepper whistling episode, next picture, Pepper loses hope. Here's what she says. She says, it's no use, Daddy. I'm never going to whistle, ever. Now, it sounds a bit dramatic, doesn't it? But I wonder whether you're losing hope in your Christian life. Maybe you're thinking, it's no use, Lord. I've tried to stick with Jesus, but I'm losing my grip. I'm never going to be able to hold on. Or maybe that's not true of you, but you can definitely think of someone for whom they might even be saying those things. Okay, so sign two is your faith is failing. Let's have a look at the third sign. You've given up encouraging. This comes from the command in verse 24. So let me read that. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Now again, this suggests that some of these Christians the letter was written to had given up meeting together and were no longer encouraging each other and spurring one another on. I think it makes sense, doesn't it? It's pretty hard to keep encouraging each other to be faithful Christians if you're not sure that you believe it anymore, like we were thinking about under the second sign. And actually, in the Pepper episode, Pepper's friends and family are learning to whistle too. And you know what? She doesn't encourage them. When she discovers that they can whistle, she gets sad and angry, and she goes outside to be on her own. Doesn't that look a bit of a miserable situation? Now, probably that's not going to be said of us here this morning. I guess we've made it here this morning. But could you imagine that being true of you in just a few weeks' time? Do you think that you're feeling a little bit discouraged? And you might think, well, I don't think I fancy turning up so much anymore. Or maybe you are here every week, but you're kind of not here in the sense of being present and participating in the service, let alone encouraging each other to live out a life of love and good deeds. I wonder whether that could be you. Now, I want to pause here, actually, and tell you two things. If you've got good memories, you'll remember that Luke actually preached on this passage as part of a bigger passage over the summer, I think it was, maybe just before the summer. It was part of our One Another series. Do you remember that Sunday where the chairs were not around this way? They were all around that way. And Luke was encouraging us to spur one another on. And actually, when I heard these verses, this shorter section in particular being preached, I could feel in my own heart that I was feeling a bit weary about some things. Often time spent with God was getting squeezed between a busy family life and lots of stuff at work to do. And I was beginning to think of it as a bit of a chore. And I hadn't given up gathering, but I guess I wasn't doing much to encourage people either. Maybe I was more likely to be complaining about, well, why didn't the sermon tackle this issue? Or I really want to ask about that. But I wasn't really doing much to say to others, come on, let's serve each other and the Lord in love and good deeds. But here's the second thing I want to tell you, and that is that my heart was warmed by the way in which the writer to the Hebrews responds to exactly that kind of weariness. Now, he doesn't say, you fool, I give up on you. But nor does he say, oh, it doesn't matter, you just carry on. Like an ideal older brother, he puts his arm around us and says, let me help you. Let me do that by encouraging you. So let's have a look at what encouragements he gives. Four encouragements if you're weary. So the first one, encouragement one, you've got the golden ticket. Okay, so this comes from verses 19 to 20. If you have a look down at your Bibles, where it says in 19 to 20, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. So if I can put it this way, we have the golden ticket to enter the most holy place. Now, if you know your Bibles, the most holy place was actually the central part of the temple where the presence of God dwelled and where only one person once a year could go. But everyone else and all the rest of the year, there was no way into the direct presence of God. But what these verses are telling us is that because Jesus shed his blood on the cross for us, anyone who puts their trust in Jesus has free and open access to the God of the whole universe. I don't know about you, but that definitely sounds like having a golden ticket to me. I wonder whether you can think of anywhere that's not normally open to the public that you would love to go. So maybe someone's living room to have dinner with them, or maybe a special place that's closed to the public. Does anyone have any suggestions? Any ideas?
Downing Street.
Downing Street. Okay, that's it. That would be interesting to get in there, yes? Anywhere else? Would anyone like to get into the Chelsea dressing room, perhaps? Yeah? See what goes on in there? Yeah. What explains the not top form at the moment? Yeah, so actually, if it was for me, I'd quite like to get into the Players' Lounge at Wimbledon. I think it would be quite a place to be. And you can be sure that no amount of money is ever going to get me in there, and also my tennis skills are never going to get me in there anytime soon. And actually, this is where the second episode of Peppa Pig comes in. So we're going to switch now to the one where Peppa goes to Hollywood to be in Super Potato's new movie. Do you know that one? Do you remember it? Does anyone want to hear my impression of the TV advert that Super Potato makes? Okay, you ready for it?
Hoo-ha! Win a trip to Hollywood to star in my new movie, Vegetables in Space. Just find the golden ticket to win the trip of a lifetime.
And this being a cartoon, can you guess what? Peppa finds the golden ticket. But actually, the most amazing thing is somehow the ticket just appears out of the middle of a potato. Now, I did think about trying to recreate that here this morning. And as the church treasurer, you might think I could sign off any special effects budget that I fancied. You know, maybe it could go down part under AV, you know, it's kind of for a movie, and part under cooking, because it's potato related. But don't be worried, we've got double signatures on the bank account. So I couldn't get that one through. So you're just going to have to put up with this photo this morning, the picture. But the point here is that Peppa didn't deserve to be in Super Potato's new movie, but she was given a golden ticket that got her in. So I wonder whether that's how you see being able to enter God's presence. It's not what we have a right to do, but it's an amazing gift that we've been given. Okay, so that's the first encouragement. And if you click on to the second one, encouragement number two, you've had the makeover. Now, if you're anything like me, the first thing that you do after finding out that you're going to be able to do or go somewhere amazing is that I worry I'm going to make a fool of myself. Anyone identify with that? Now, maybe my mind will go blank, or maybe I'll say something stupid, or what am I supposed to wear? If I'd won a, uh, if I'd won a ticket to be in Super Potato's new movie, I'd worry about what part I was supposed to be. You know, I'd be wandering around thinking, what am I supposed to be doing? And where would I find the right costume and the makeup to make sure that I didn't stand out? Well, in the episode, Pepper and her family are told that they will be the vegetables in space, and they're given broccoli outfits to make them look the part. Now, does anyone want to see me dress up as a broccoli this morning?
Yes.
I did think about it, and I got as far as looking on eBay, but none of the outfits were really quite good enough. And the whole point about this point is that it's not an embarrassing outfit. So I would have loved to, but sadly not this time. Okay. But the same is basically true here in today's passage. The writer to the Hebrews knows that we will hesitate entering the most holy place, even though we've got the ticket, because we feel like we're not appropriately dressed and made up. We feel dirty because of our sins, even though they've been dealt with. So if you look at verse 22, let's see what it says. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. We naturally feel our sinfulness and our uncleanness before a perfectly holy God. But if I can again say it this way, Jesus has given us the makeover that we need. Jesus' blood has made us clean, and his Spirit assures us that we belong there. That's actually what verses 14 to 15 are saying. For by one sacrifice, Jesus has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. Now that feels to me like a great encouragement. We've got the ticket and we've been made to look right, to be appropriately dressed in God's presence. So here's encouragement number three. The guest list is confirmed. Now the other thing that I worry about when I've been invited somewhere amazing is that somehow there will be a hiccup and it will all get cancelled. Does anyone else think that? Yeah. Or maybe there'll be a change to the guest list, and I'll get there and I'll discover, oh, I wasn't invited after all. Now, actually, something like this happened to me and Rach once. Can you believe that? We got invited to one of my colleagues' weddings, both the ceremony and the reception afterwards. But when we got to see the seating plan for the reception, our names were not there. Now, can you imagine, can you guess what we did? What do you think we did? Well, that might have been a good thing to do, but as reserved English people, certainly as I was, it was my colleague and I'm a reserved Englishman, I just slipped away quietly and never said anything about it. And I don't think my colleague even knows to this day. But actually, that's not what happens to Pepper and her family. So Pepper, Super Potato, and Hash Brown, that's that square guy on the right-hand side of the picture, they see the golden ticket that Pepper and her family have got, and they welcome them onto the film set. There's no reluctance to honour the promise, and no small print that means that the prize is not what it seems. And actually, that's just what it's like in our passage. So have a look at verse 23, where it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. God is faithful. He has promised us access into God's presence, and he is not going to change his mind about that. The world can often feel like a pretty flaky place, can't it? You know, people not turning up when they said they will, changing plans at the last minute, letting us down for one reason or another, and then telling half lies or half truths about it. I'm sure we can all think of painful examples of that. But isn't it a relief that God is never like that? There's that verse that says, who is God that he should change his mind? Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? What an encouragement that the promise is, that the bottom is never going to fall out of God's promises. He really will bring us into his presence. Okay, and here's the fourth encouragement. There's no home time. Okay, so imagine you've got the golden ticket, you've got the outfit, you've got in, you've been welcomed by the host, and you're having a great time. Isn't there always that nagging feeling at the back of your mind thinking, this is so great, but it's going to be over in just a few short hours? Now, after Pepper and her family have saved the day in the movie, Miss Rabbit from back home turns up to tell Pepper that their holiday adventure is over and it's time to go home. Now, can anyone imagine what Pepper's reaction was? Can you think what Pepper's reaction might have been? She was sad. She says, "Oh, already?" We've certainly had that kind of thing said in our family. But isn't it frustrating how soon good things seem to come to an end? But that's not how it works in God's kingdom. The writer to the Hebrews actually encourages his listeners to keep going, verse 22, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, you might ask, what is this day that is approaching? It's got a capital D. Now, I think we can actually work out from the rest of the letter that it's referring to the day when the Lord Jesus returns and gathers his people to be with him forever. Or if I can use the words of chapter 4, the day when we enter the eternal rest of God. Now, if you're feeling weary this morning, and there were some yeses at the beginning, the idea of eternal rest probably sounds pretty good. Actually, rest is one of my favourite words, as Rach will tell you. She discovered that very soon after we got married as well. These days, actually, the sort of rest that I usually enjoy doing is pictured up here. If you want to imagine what I'm doing at home when I'm not working, that's probably 90% likely to be right. But actually, God promises us something much better than rest lying on the sofa. He promises us rest in his presence that never ends. No home time, no closing time, no bedtime, and no last train home to cut short the party. In God's presence, the best place to be forever. Now, I wonder, do you see how these are just the right encouragements for the weary soul? So maybe you're tired of drawing near to worship. Answer, don't give up. You've got the golden ticket. Or your faith is failing. Don't give up. The guest list is confirmed. God won't change his mind. Or you've given up encouraging people. Don't give up. God has promised eternal rest in his presence. How good will that be? But the writer to the Hebrews doesn't actually just leave it there. There's also a call to action. So let's finish by looking at the three commands for the weary that he gives. And they're actually already things that we've looked at, because you remember the signs that we're weary were taken from the command. So we're just going to look at the command side of things now. So command number one, draw near to God. This is verse 22, where it says, draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith rings. If it's really true that we have the golden ticket to enter God's presence, let's make use of it. Don't be lulled into thinking that reading your Bible and praying are insignificant self-improvement exercises. Don't think that gathering here to worship or sharing in the Lord's table are just religious rituals. Let's take God at his word and enter his presence by the blood of Jesus and worship. Okay, command number two, hold on to your hope. This is verse 23. let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. If God really is true to his word, then we can be sure that our faith is the most valuable thing in the world, and we should make every effort to cling onto it. As I said at the start, Jesus has got us in, so don't jack it in. I wonder, do you feel like jacking it in? Do you feel like giving up? Do you feel like your grip is slipping? If so, let us remind ourselves that we have no reason to doubt God's faithfulness. If he was willing to send his son to die on the cross for us, to shed his blood to get us in, how is he ever going to change his mind and give up on us? Why would he pay the entry fee if he wasn't going to make sure that we made good use of the ticket? Okay, and then the third command, spur one another on, verses 24 to 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. To me, it's great to be encouraged that we're not on this journey alone. God has given us fellow Christians to encourage us and fellow Christians for us to encourage. When athletes are competing, they often want the crowd to yell their support to help them keep going to the finish line. I wonder, who could you help and encourage keep going in their Christian life? Who do you know who is finding it tough and would welcome a little word of encouragement? Maybe a phone call or a text. Maybe just a hug or a quiet word after the service. Who can we spur on to love and good deeds, serving our fellow Christians in practical ways? If someone's come to mind, don't let that thought pass you by. Now, most of what I've said so far has pretty much been addressed to those of us who would call ourselves Christians, but maybe are feeling weary, or we've got friends who would say that. But what about if you would not call yourself a Christian yet? Perhaps you don't identify with any of the signs of weariness that we've been talking about. But maybe you feel a different sort of weariness. If I could describe it as weariness with the world. Life can feel hard work. It seems to be about striving to achieve something, to become something. And then when you get there, if you get there, you actually discover there's not much satisfaction to be had. Certainly doesn't last if you get there. And then on top of that, there's all of life's worries and concerns that mean you're kind of distracted, you're just worried about things that are not working out. Falling ill, having trouble with relationships, people making that you love making bad decisions. Now, if that's you, I want to point you towards some words of the Lord Jesus about people who are weary. These are actually among my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Let me read them to you. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The solution for the world-weary Christian is to come to the Lord Jesus and commit your life to him. He has died for you if you will put your trust in him. He will give you rest for your soul. So if you're weary, whether or not you're a Christian, the answer is the same. Put your trust in Jesus and draw near to him, and he will give you rest. Jesus has got us in, so don't jack it in. Let's pray together. Father, we're sorry that so easily we give up and become discouraged, but we want to praise and thank you that you're a God who doesn't give up on us, a God who doesn't turf us out and say, I've had enough of you. Father, we thank you for the encouragement in this passage to keep going. Please help us to appreciate the amazing gift that you've given us, access into your presence by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving us the right clothes as well. Thank you that we can be confident that you won't change your mind. And Father, we thank you too that we can look forward to a day where it won't come to an end. There won't be a home time. It can often be difficult for us to really appreciate that and feel it, but we ask that you would help us to understand just what an amazing gift you've given us. And might that be the encouragement we need to keep going, whatever the reasons for feeling weary this morning. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. What a wonderful encouragement and what an invitation we have to draw near to God. We're going to do that now as we sing. If you have children in downstairs minis, so from nursery to year two, please could you go and collect them? And bring them back into the service, and then we'll share the Lord's Supper with the children in with us as well.